Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman on this Sports on a Sunday, a beautiful Sunday morning here in St. Louis. And of course, it is the fall. It means World Series. It is without the Cardinals in said World Series or postseason. We have a classic matchup of the Yankees and the Dodgers. And I was saying before I went to break, sometimes you hear folks that will claim that they have been a Yankees fan or a Dodgers fan or whatever the case is, right? And you're just sort of like, yeah, right, really? That is not the case for our next guest. You know him. You love him. It's Scott Jagow, who is just here on Total Information AM Sunday. And Scott is sporting his Dodgers hat as he sits in here today. But it is not fair weather. It is not anything like that. You have a cool connection to the 24 World Series.
Yeah. Well, my dad grew up a Brooklyn Dodgers fan because his dad was a Yankees fan. So he wanted to not be a Yankees fan when he was a kid. He wanted to go against his dad, so he decided to pull for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he lived in Buffalo, New York, across the state. But that was back when both teams were in New York City.
Yep.
And then they've obviously moved to L.A. But when I was born a Dodgers fan. And I remember the first memories I have of being a Dodgers fan was the 77 Reggie Jackson, Mr. October, 3 home run series. Then the Bucky Dent, lost both of those series. But then we got revenge in 81 with Fernando Valenzuela. Rest in peace. He was my favorite player at that time. And the biggest memory I have of being a Dodgers fan is the 1988 World Series. I was in college and I was at a fraternity party or something like that, some party. But it was the Dodgers playing in the World Series, so I left that damn party so I could go to my dorm room and watch a little tiny TV.
Amazing.
with my batting helmet, Dodgers helmet. So it was a batting helmet, not a ball cap. And when the Dodgers were down 4-3, I turned it around into a rally helmet. My sweet mate was a Dodgers fan, but he went to bed. So he was a fair-weather Dodgers fan.
Like all those brake lights you see, all those
exactly.
People leaving Dodger Stadium that will then claim that they were there. And
when Kirk Gibson hit the home run. I mean, that moment was probably my favorite moment in sports. I remember jumping up and screaming and running into my sweet mate's room and pushing him basically off the top bunk. It said, the Dodgers just won. Kirk Gibson hit a home run. And he was in his underwear, and we started running around the dorm. Like yelling and screaming at the top of our lungs. And so, you know, you don't get many moments like that until Friday night. And we got another one with Freddie Freeman's grand slam.
I think it's so cool. And I think baseball lends itself to this. It's funny that your dad wanted to sort of be anti his dad, but you, born a Dodgers fan, as you said, and in lockstep with your dad.
True. And later in life, it was serendipitous. I moved to Los Angeles when I was in my 30s. So I had been a Dodgers fan, you know, from the 70s all the way up into the 2000s. And I actually got to live in L.A. just a couple miles from Dodger Stadium and go to games regularly. There was a bar called The Shortstop just down the street.
Oh, that's...
And we would go there and pregame. And then to walk into Chavez Ravine, it is straight uphill for a long way. So you get your exercise. But we would go to The Shortstop and then climb the hill. Beautiful stadium. And by the way, Dodgers fans are awesome. Back in the day, I know you could make an argument there was the celebrity crowd and getting there late and leaving early because of the traffic. I mean, it really is that bad, the traffic. But over the years, the crowd has gotten more and more energized, and the Latino population definitely has something to do with that. But they show up early and they stay late.
And which probably was brought on a lot by Fernando Mania.
It was actually because...
For sure.
Because when the stadium was built, they displaced all these Hispanic families, and it made the Hispanic community furious. Fernando brought them back. He was the bridge. So yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that's when it started.
How cool. And I think people can get that, right? And people in St. Louis can get that, because that's how most of us, if we're born and raised in St. Louis, we're generations of Cardinals fans. I was, my dad was, his dad was. I mean, that's what I knew. And I think that's, you know, a similar story, the same story as what you're saying with the Dodgers. And that's why I think, again, And I know it happens in other sports. It's so prevalent in baseball to have the generations of fans that I don't think you see as much in other sports.
Yeah, and being in St. Louis, I mean, I've lived in a couple of different baseball cities. Cincinnati, a great baseball town. St. Louis, a great baseball town. So I appreciate the fandom here. And, you know, I pull for the Cardinals when they're not playing the Dodgers.
Sure, yeah.
I pulled for the Reds when I lived in Cincinnati. And my Dodger fandom, to be fair, waned a bit. It definitely waned throughout the 90s. It was the 1994 strike that really ticked me off. And us getting a free agent like Daryl Strawberry, that really made me mad, because the Dodgers were homegrown until then. They were the homegrown team. They had the best farm system for many years. In fact, from 79 to 82, they had the Rookie of the Year in the National League every single year. I mean, it's just incredible to the players that they produced out of Albuquerque.
And then there was another stretch where you have Karros and Piazza. There was yep. another stretch where they had a good run of rookies of the year. Same kind of thing that ultimately ended up, obviously, Piazza getting shipped off. And that was right, actually, when the ownership change came, when the O'Malley family was transferring ownership to the Fox Corporation.
And when I moved to L.A., it kind of reinvigorated my fandom.
Yeah.
But I can also see why people from the outside hate the Dodgers, because of their bankroll, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. And I get it. But living as a Dodgers fan and being out there and knowing the kind of fans that fan base is, I mean, I think it's a little bit misplaced. It certainly shouldn't be on the fans. They're really good. And actually, the Dodgers have underperformed over the years. I mean, they won the 88. They didn't win until 2020 again, yep. which was the pandemic season. It almost has an asterisk. So I feel like this team looks to me like a winner, but I am a little nervous. First of all, Shohei Ohtani being out. But not just that. The last two times the Yankees and Dodgers have been in the series, one team has gone up 2-0, and both times that team lost. So I'm a little concerned. But I mean, the Yankees are even easier to hate, right?
And so that was going to be the point that I was going to make, too. I think that you find that with the Cardinals, and I think the common denominator is successful franchises. You have the two top teams in the National League would be Los Angeles and the Cardinals. Los Angeles has the second most league championship series of any outside of the Yankees. The Cardinals, they lead the National League. The Cardinals right behind them. The Cardinals, of course, the second most World Series titles behind the Yankees, of course, who are running away with that. But I think that's why, you know, everybody wants to hate the team at the top, I guess, which maybe the Cardinals won't. they don't have to worry about that for a couple of years, maybe.
Well, hope not. Right. I hope they bounce back. We thought that was going to happen this year. And we are seeing some former Cardinals perform very well in these playoffs. I mean, that's kind of bittersweet. It's a business, as we talked about earlier this morning. It's a business, and players don't stay in one place forever, money, contracts, and all that stuff. But it is fun, though, to see Tommy Edman, because having watched him here and now seeing him perform for the Dodgers is really fun, because I feel like I know more about him from his time here.
Jack Flaherty, too. How can you not feel good for a kid who was, you know, 9 or 10 years old in his Dodgers uniform pitching in the backyard, and now he is starring for them in game one of the World Series?
And the Dodgers have their players are performing. Their players are performing in the clutch. And I'm sorry, but Aaron Judge ain't.
Right. That's a great point. No, you're exactly right. And, the hate of the Yankees, that's what fuels me. It's the Yankees, and especially because after the run that they had in the late 90s going into the 2000s, I was just like, oh, anybody but the Yankees. So now it's funny, because I know someone who was born and raised, longtime Yankee fan, and he made the point that, like, he really, this is like the first time, he's much younger, this is the first time in his life that he can really enjoy the Yankees getting to the World Series, which is like, you think about it, oh, it's actually been a while.
Yeah, 2009 for them, and 43 years since Yankees-Dodgers. They played 11 times before this, most of it before my lifetime. I mean, three of them were in my lifetime, but the rest were 60s, 50s, 40s. And it was the best and biggest rivalry in baseball, I would say, in sports. And so for the younger generation, it's a chance to see that rivalry on the biggest stage when it just hasn't happened so long.
It's been three in my lifetime, too, but I'm younger than you are. So literally, I was one day old after when the 77 series ended. So like I don't remember that, but I only know just being a baseball guy and enjoying the history of the game and understanding that rivalry. I do think that's obviously a draw. Why would it not be? So, and it goes back, obviously, to Brooklyn and New York.
When I was young, my dad took me to my first professional baseball game, and it was in Atlanta against the Dodgers. Atlanta was playing against the Dodgers, and that was great, man. And Dusty Baker was my favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I have great memories as a kid of being a Dodgers fan. And like I said, and then when I lived in L.A., I enjoyed it a lot. In between, I've been a little soft on the Dodgers for several reasons. So it's not like my Buffalo Bills fandom.
Right.
I do not miss one second of a Buffalo Bills game ever in the last 40-plus years. And I think I would trade all Dodgers North Carolina championships for one Super Bowl.
Man.
I mean, I'm serious.
That's
how much I love the Bills.
A long-suffering Bills fan.
I just want one.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time to share that story. I think it's really cool, and it was just something that I did not know until we chatted about it this morning.
Yeah, I thought it was fun to bring out the Dodgers cap.
I like it.
This one's getting it's aged.
That's okay. So. Hey, that's a good. I know how that works too. You got to have it. You got to have a
broken
good
in
fit
for
on.
Sure.
Yes. Well, Scott Jagow, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Scott Jagow with us here. We've got just one segment to go on Sports on a Sunday Morning. That will be with Bernie Mikulas, and it's coming up on the other side of the break. Joe Pott in for Tom Ackerman in the Stiefel Sports Studio on Sports on a Sunday Morning, and we're coming right back.